not the best person that knows how to pray. I remember when Pastor Larry, Pastor Grace used to ask me to pray, and I get tongue-tied because I want to say so much about my Father. I want to tell people about God, amen? Not about stuff. I want to talk about God and how good God is, how God changes our lives, amen? How God changes a life, lifts somebody up, and blesses everybody around them, amen? Because when one person gets lifted up, it blesses those around them. How many of you know that, amen? God is on my God. I just love you so much. Would you all sing song number 12 with us this morning? My daughter was all upset the other day. She gets this thing about somebody saying, well, your God is just some bearded mythological person. And I started praying and I started thinking and I said, you know, we need to start looking at those people and listen, I'm just saying, we need to, when we get attacked by that, to just tell those people that you are the best entertainment for us Christians, us believers. You people that talk like that is becoming entertainment for us. The way you talk about God, the way you talk about the Bible with no knowledge is actually becoming comical to us because you're just exposing what you don't know and saying it like it's fact. And maybe you can say, instead of getting angry and wanting to have revenge, you should just smile at them like you would a little child and pat them on the top of the head and say, that's what you believe. God bless you. And that's what she said. The last thing she said to him was, well, I'll pray for you and may God bless you. And I said, that's what happened. That's how you get somebody, you make them stop and make them turn around. Because if you argue with them, then they've got you right where they want you. Amen? But if you just say to them, well, you're the best, and we get more entertainment out of people like, where's Dave? Dave here? Dave back from his trip? Downstairs. We saw in the news the other day that they found this new bird. Did anybody see that they got a bird? They say maybe the oldest living, 1.5 billion years old, they said this bird was. And I smiled and I said, well, was it 1.5 billion or maybe was it 1.2 billion? Because what's 300 million years? Or maybe it was only 900 million years old. So I said, well, maybe they're only off by 6. And I just, that's when it hit me. God said, you know, look at this. See how this is, and they say this is fact. This bird is 1.5 million years old, and I started smiling. I said, well, they might be off by a half a billion years. Who knows, right? But I know that my God lives, and I know that my God takes care of me, and I know that God blesses. That's all we need to do. Hallelujah. That's our, this is what
I'm
can't make me doubt Jesus, and you can't make me doubt that he wants to bless you. You can't make me doubt that he doesn't answer your prayers. I can see that he answers prayers. Amen. I can see. You need to see him so much more in your life, and I know you all do, but I'm saying there's more. Say that with me. There's more. You're not alone. Amen. God can do it. He wants to do it. You know, sometimes I'm telling you that you read the Bible and you wonder, he's waiting for one more person to pray sometime. He's ready to answer a prayer. He's waiting for one more person to pray. So that, because he knows that on that person's heart is everything that's in there. And he said, when that person prays that prayer, I'm going to answer it. Then he'll know that it was me that answered that prayer. Amen? And that's God. That's the God you love. Amen? That's the God you want to know more about. Hallelujah. Deacon Jim is back. Deacon Jim is back. Yeah. Is back. Karen's birthday is tomorrow. Did you know that? Just saying. I'm not supposed to say it out loud, so you didn't hear me, that Karen's birthday is tomorrow. Just to close them up. Can you all sing song one? No, don't sing it like that. I do that to you all the time. I was like a running down the hill marathon running. Very good. Thank you.
That is one of my favorite.
As the waves flow over you, as you're in the deepest of despair, that song says, "It is well with my soul." Amen. When you can be in a place that you feel is so dark, and you can look up and say, "It is well with my soul," is when you have victory. Amen. Jonah in the belly of the fish. You know what, Jonah, what was the first realization he had when he was in the belly of the fish? That he was still alive. That he was still alive. And he said, "As long as I'm still alive, I can pray. And if I know what I'm praying, no matter if I'm in the belly of the fish or where I am, God will hear my prayer." Amen. To you to say that to God, "It is well with my soul," because I know you hear me. I know it's bad right this minute, Lord, but I know you hear me. He lifts you up and makes you stronger, amen, to face and get through, to get through what it is. And then you're stronger on the other side, amen. We're going to sing number 22 hymn, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." Welcome back, Gene.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket, but we got you.
Sunday again. and this beautiful church on this beautiful Sunday in the month of May. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven, be seated. Enjoy yourself. Hallelujah. Let's read together from God's Word, Psalm 37. Good morning, church. I pray that you receive today and get as excited as I am. I do. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. May I read that one more time? Cease from and forsake. Do not fret because. Those are God's words. Amen. Amen. If we could just do that one line, how would the world be different today? Amen. Thank you, Lord. You touched a family, church, that you did not know about because we sent this, the bulletin last week that was made for our friend Lou Berry. His sister had passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Maybe I'm not the best person to know how to pray. I remember when Pastor Larry, Pastor Gracious asked me to pray, I get tongue-tied because I want to say so much about my Father. I want to tell people about God, amen? Not about stuff. I want to talk about God and how good God is, how God changes our lives, amen? How God changes a life, lifts somebody up, and blesses everybody around them, amen? Because when one person gets lifted up, it blesses those around them. How many of you know that, amen? God is, oh my God, I just love him so much. Would you all sing Psalm number 12 with us this morning? My daughter was all upset the other day. She gets this thing about somebody saying that, well, your God is just some bearded mythological person. And I started praying and I started thinking and I said, you know, we need to start looking at those people and listen, I'm just saying we need to, when we get attacked by that, to just tell those people that you are the best entertainment for us Christians, us believers. You people that talk like that is becoming entertainment for us. The way you talk about God, the way you talk about the Bible with no knowledge is actually becoming comical to us because you're just exposing what you don't know and saying it like it's fact. And maybe you can say, instead of getting angry and wanting to have revenge, you should just smile at them like you would a little child and pat them on the top of the head and say, that's what you believe. God bless you. And that's what she said. The last thing she said to them was, well, I'll pray for you and may God bless you. And I said, that's what happened. That's how you get somebody, you make them stop and make them turn around. Because if you argue with them, then they've got you right where they want you. Amen? But if you just say to them, well, you're the best. We get more entertainment out of people. Where's David? David here? No. David back from his trip to the university downstairs. We saw in the news the other day that they found this new bird. Did anybody see that they got a bird? They say maybe the oldest living, 1.5 billion years old, they said this bird was. And I smiled and I said, well, was it 1.5 billion or maybe was it 1.2 billion? Because what's 300 million years? Or maybe it was only 900 million years old. So I said, well, maybe they're only off by six. And I just, that's what hit me. God said, you know, look at this. See how this is, and they say this is fact. This bird is 1.5 billion years old, and I started smiling. I said, well, they might be off by a half a billion years. Who knows, right? But I know that my God lives, and I know that my God takes care of me, and I know that God blesses. That's all we need.
Thank you.
can't make me doubt Jesus. And you can't make me doubt that he wants to bless you. You can't make me doubt that he doesn't answer your prayers. I can see that he answers prayers. Amen. I can see. You need to see him so much more in your life than I know you all do. But I'm saying there's more. Say that with me. There's more. You're not alone. Amen. In fact, God can do it. He wants to do it. You know, sometimes I'm telling you that you read the Bible and you wonder, he's waiting for one more person to pray sometime. He's ready to answer a prayer and he's waiting for one more person to pray. So that because he knows that on that person's heart is everything that's in there. And he says, when that person prays that prayer, I'm going to answer it. Then he'll know that it was me that answered that prayer. Amen? And that's God. That's the God you love. Amen? That's the God you want to know more about. Hallelujah. Deacon Jim is back.
Yeah.
Deacon Jim is back. Hey, he's back. Karen's birthday is tomorrow. Did you know that? Just say. I'm not supposed to say it out loud, so you didn't hear me, that Karen's birthday is tomorrow. Just to close the door. Can we all sing song one? No, don't sing it like that. I do that to you all the time. That was like a run down the hill marathon. Very good.
Thank you.
has to waves flow over you as you're in the deepest of despair. That song says, it is well with my soul. Amen. When you can be in a place that you feel is so dark, and you can look up and say, it is well with my soul, is when you have victory. Amen. Jonah in the belly of the fish. You know what, Jonah, what was the first realization he had when he was in the belly of the fish? That he was still alive. That he was still alive. And he said, as long as I'm still alive, I can pray. And if I know what I'm praying, no matter if I'm in the belly of the fish or where I am, God will hear my prayer. Amen? To you, to say that to God, it is well with my soul, because I know you hear me. I know it's bad right this minute, Lord, but I know you hear me. He lifts you up and makes you stronger. Amen? To face and get through, to get through what it is. And then you're stronger on the other side. Amen? We're going to sing number 22 hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Welcome back, Jean.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket, but we got you.
Thank you.
in this beautiful church on this beautiful Sunday in the month of May. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven, be seated. Enjoy yourself. Hallelujah. Let's read together from God's Word, Psalm 37. Good morning, church. I pray that you receive today and get as excited as I am. I do. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. May I read that one more time? Cease from and forsake. Do not fret because. Those are God's words. Amen. Amen. If we could just do that one line, how would the world be different today? Amen. Thank you, Lord. This feels like, neither is my Spanish. You just have this supercharged sense of the Spirit in your heart pouring into your soul. What a connection to God. We all can have that, amen? We all should have that every day. We're growing to have that. And then, I am the one who has put you here, the Spirit says. I stop. I turn around and look up at the 50,000 people surrounding me. I know what I just heard, and I know that I am the only one who heard it. The tone of his voice is joyful, but it is also admonishing. I am at a point in this season and in my career at which I feel very much in charge of what I am doing on the mound. I don't express this outwardly, but I am so full of confidence and vigor that it is as if I am the one calling all the shots. In this moment, the Lord has apparently decided that I've gotten too big for my clothes or britches, and that I need to be reminded that he is the one who is all-powerful and not me. As I stand on the Yankee Stadium mound before all these people, I am flooded with emotions. I am chastened and humbled, profoundly shaken by the sudden spiritual wake-up call. I am sorry that I have gotten carried away with my own sense of importance. I am sorrier still that I have ventured off on my own to a degree instead of seeking the Lord's will. Amen. Instead of seeking, he said, I'm just doing it. I'm on my own. I forgot to seek what the Lord's will is about his things in his life. Amen. And understand this. This man is a multimillionaire. This man can have and does everything that he ever wants. He doesn't have any worries like we do. Amen. Yet he is saying to himself, he somehow stopped seeking the will of God. Amen. To a degree, instead of seeking the Lord's will. And then he said, the Lord has indeed put me here. Without him, I am nothing. The only reason I am here and able to do what I do is because he gives me strength. Can I get an amen? It is time to pitch now. Oh boy, I am thinking. I really don't know how this is going to go. I am going to do my best, but in this instant, I probably have as much doubt about my ability to focus on the task at hand as I ever have in my professional career. Maybe this part of the lesson that the Lord wants to teach me. I don't know. He's afraid, amen? He knows. I get Brett Boone on a fly ball to right field, and for a moment I think that maybe I can steady myself after all. The thought does not last for long. I bounce a pitch badly to Chipper Jones, then I walk him on another ball way out of the strike zone. On my first pitch to Brian Jordan, he rips a hit-and-run single to right field. After I fall behind Brian Colesco, Mel comes out to visit me and to get me to relax and throw the strikes that I almost always throw. I nod. I act as if everything is okay. it is not okay. Colesko laced a single. That blows the save. Two batters later, Andrew Jones takes me over the wall in left center. That blows the game. It is about as bad an outing as I've ever had as a closer. Anybody ever have bad things happen in your life? Anybody ever feel like that, you know? I don't say a word about what happened to any of my teammates, but I know I have learned an important lesson. I am a human being, and human beings get complacent. That's a word you ought to write down and look up. We lose our way sometimes. The Lord decides that this hot summer night is the time to help me find my way again. Is it a coincidence the way the rest of the season goes? That I give up one run for the rest of the year? That I finish the season with streaks of 30 and two-thirds scoreless innings and 22 consecutive saves? I have no idea. All I can tell you is that I spend the next 3 months in a zone of profound humility and as much concentration and confidence as I've ever had in my life. Let us pray together. Lord, we need to search for you every single day in our lives. We need to realize that the blessings we have come from you. We need to realize that the good people around us come from you. We need to realize what we say is just a reflection of you. How we act is a reflection of you. We need to realize, Lord, that you are in control of what we do, that you lift us and hold us. Then when we walk away from you is why we fall. And when we walk away from you is why we do things that we shouldn't. When we walk away from you is why we say things we shouldn't. You've made us who we are. You made us to be successful. You made us to prosper. It is when we turn to the left or right that we lose that prosperity, when we lose that peace. It is when we turn to the left or the right that we lose the ability to do the things you want us to do because we're out of your will. We think with our own imagination. We think with our own opinions. We think with our own ways. And we forget that you brought us to this point. You led us to this point. And now we think that we can handle it from here. This man, this book, this man, he had everything in life that everybody thinks they want. He had success. He was a hero. He was a star. He was doing what he loved to do. He thought he was in control. He thought he had it all figured out. And one night, God showed him, just take a second, humility. God didn't leave him there. Understand that God did not leave him there. Understand he didn't whine and complain, and he didn't make excuses. He didn't even tell the teammates what had happened. He knew what happened. But also understand that after he said, Lord, I am so sorry, I humble myself to you. I thank you for where you brought me to this day, that he looked forward and said, I'm going to concentrate more on God. What he did may not have been God's hand in him being so successful the next 32 innings and the 22 saves in a row. It wasn't like God liked the Yankees more than any other team or liked him any other way. It was because his concentration was where it was supposed to be. His thoughts were where they were supposed to be. His joy was where it was supposed to be, on God. This is the day the Lord has made. I ask you, find that will. Find that joy. Get away from your thoughts and get to back to where God wants. Not your opinions, but God's opinions. Get it the way God wants it to be in your life. Not the way I want it to be in your life. I don't know your life. Not the way you want it to be in my life. You don't know my life. But the way God wants it to be in your life. Take this man. Take what he did, how he humbled himself. And most men in his position don't even take the time to humble him. What would they humble himself for? He had everything in life he wanted. Success, money, he realized it's all because of God. He realized it was all because of Jesus. He felt the Holy Spirit move inside of him, the same Spirit that's in you. I pray this morning, that you yearn for that Spirit to rise up. And not only that, I pray that you recognize the Spirit as it rises up. And I pray that it humbles you to a point where you remember every single thing that somebody did for you last month, last year, other things that they did for you, and just give thanks for God putting those people in your life. You don't owe them, you owe God. You don't owe anybody favors, you owe God. You owe them to show God to other people. so that other people can receive the blessings you receive and lift you up the way God helps you. He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't want you to be depressed. He doesn't want you to have anxiety. He doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to wonder how you're going to do. He just says, trust me. Let me lead you. I pray this morning that you yearn for more of that. Not for the world's knowledge, not for book knowledge, but from God's knowledge. That it lifts you and you say, every day, I want to feel the Holy Spirit today. It means I got to draw closer. I've got to do some soul searching. I've got to do some cleaning in my brain because I want to feel God's Spirit. I want to feel that Spirit. This man felt that Spirit. He wasn't afraid. Notice he never was afraid. He knew what he had done. And he knew that, and God rewarded his humility. He got down and humbled himself. You got to trust God today with more of your life. You got to trust God today with more of his thoughts and not yours. You got to trust God that he sees the whole. He sees and knows how to fix what is wrong. Not only in the world, but in your everyday life. That's why you come to church, for your everyday life. Not to have answers for the world, but for you. Because each answer blesses somebody else, and that's how it goes. I pray you yearn today for more of God. I pray today you yearn for more so that you can feel the Holy Spirit inside of you changing your life every day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Give God praise and glory, church. This is your chance, Dale. It's your chance today. We don't know about tomorrow. This is your chance to make this church everything that God wants it to be. It shines for God. I mean, it's your chance. You could say, well, not today. I'll do it next week. I will put it off till September. Or maybe we'll put it off, and that's fine. But this is your day. This is the day you have to make this church that beacon, Chuck. It's up to us, amen? This church has been here for how many, 150 years? 150 years. It's not going to do anything unless the people inside turn the lights on, amen? And I don't mean these lights. I mean the Spirit of God on fire, amen? This is our chance. This is our chance. I want to get you so excited, so fired up, that you don't want anything less than this church to be lit up so that the entire valley sees it. Amen. And I'm not talking again about the chandeliers. I'm talking about the lives that be changed in this church. Amen. The joy, the peace, the strength for you. Amen. From who? Where does he live? You love him? You believe him? Hallelujah. Trust him. How many know that what you say can be as hurtful as anything you can do to somebody? Y'all know that? The words you choose can calm the seas or can cause winds to blow. How many know that? Forgiveness from somebody you love or hurt may not be enough for your heart. I'll explain that in a minute. You will have a hard time forgetting the upset you caused with your words, especially if you are close to the ones your words have hurt. Are you with me? I told you about one time, and I don't want anything to ever happen to you. I don't want this to happen to you, and we're going to pray, and we're going to read his word. Somebody I love was sick, and he was going through things, and he said something to me one day that in a normal day would have torn me right down. He said the worst things to me that he could say to me. I loved him with all my heart. He was my everything when my daddy died. He was my guy. He taught me how to fish, how to hunt, how to shoot a bow and arrow. And he said things to me that would have broke my heart and spirit, except I loved him so much, and I knew this word, and I knew God, that I just put my arm around him, and I said, I love you. I love you. And when he went in the hospital, had that operation, and I walked in the room and he looked at me and he was shocked that I was there because of what he had just said to me a little while before that. He was shocked to see me, and I said, I wouldn't be anywhere else. I love you. And from that moment on, that moment on, he must have apologized to me a dozen times, two dozen times. I ruined that day for you. I'm so sorry. I can't believe it. And I had forgiven him when he said it. Amen? Are you with me? I forgave him the moment he said it. He lived with what he said to me the rest of his life. And I don't want anybody to be in that position. That's because forgiveness, we forgive, amen? But sometimes you look in the mirror and you don't forgive the person in the mirror. God forgave you, but you don't forgive yourself. But right now between us, I just want to share that with you. You will have a hard time forgetting the upset you caused. Hallelujah. And let me talk about love. We talked about love. There's two scriptures about love. Listen to what God says. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. What does love do? And is that coming from me? Let me tell you, it's coming from Proverbs. It's coming from Solomon, the one who sought wisdom from who? Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Now listen to this one more. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen? So I'm telling you, if you see somebody sinning, you see somebody doing all these things, but he's got love in his heart, and he's a giver, and he's trying to share, and you start judging him, I want you to remember what the Bible said. It said, you know, love covers a multitude of sin. Yeah, he might be doing something wrong over there, but he's got a heart. She's got a heart to give, a heart to love. You better be careful how you judge them, because God is seeing the love coming out of that person. And that love covers a multitude of what? Sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Criticism blames somebody else. Anybody ever been criticized? Anybody judged? Criticism tears down the one that you love. Sometimes the simplest of words may be so simple you don't even realize you're saying them over and over, can tear down the spirit, bring doubt and anxiety to the one who receives those words that you profess to love. Amen? I know that I do that with my wife sometimes. You get to say things and you say something and that doesn't lift her up. And I'm thinking, what did I do? That's silly, because I love her and I love, she's my, you know, she's my wife, and we say that to people all that. We say things to people all the time. We criticize them. We judge little things. Husbands and wives do it all the time. And I say, please watch what you're saying. Because after a while it gets here and all of a sudden it moves here. And then all of a sudden this person with confidence starts thinking, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I never thought I knew what I was doing. And we all laugh about it. And I see people on TV joking about, oh, when husband and wife get married, oh yeah. But it's not funny when it starts to affect the spirit. Your words have power. Amen? Are you with me? And this is what love does. This is what love does. It puts a sentry at your mouth to guard your tongue from speaking words that can and do destroy those we love and those we call friends. What we say affects our home, our work, and our lives. Remember, we are not to judge others. Listen to me. We're not to judge others, but we judge ourselves by what we say. Amen? We judge ourselves by what we do and where we go. Don't judge me. Well, I don't have anything to judge you with except the words that you just said to me. Amen? Are you with me? Now let's read from the Word of God. You all stay with me. I want you to understand the power. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Deacon Gary, I'm sorry that I laid that on you, but that's right there. That's you and me. You're a teacher on Wednesday night's Bible study. There's one line that not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. It's a pride of responsibility, Gary. I love it, and I know you do too. For we all stumble in many things. How many of us? If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, I love this part. This is pretty cool. This is pretty explanatory. Simple. People say, I don't understand the Bible. Tell me that you don't understand it. Indeed. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. What is it, honey? La lingua? La lengua. The tongue. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire. What is the tongue? You see people preaching hate. What does that do to other people? It gets them fired up, doesn't it? You see people getting people angry. What happens to those people? They go and do something else because why? They're angry. Why are they angry? Because somebody else was speaking fire. Amen? They weren't speaking peace. They weren't speaking unity. They weren't speaking love. They weren't speaking joy. They were speaking anger. Amen? Maybe they have a right to be angry, but to preach it and to say it gets other people angry, and they don't know what they're doing. They go out there with anger. Hallelujah. So how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. What it is set on fire by? For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm going to listen to these seven words. But no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, your tongue, we bless our God and Father. Amen? And with it, we curse men. We have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. And James is saying, my brethren, not that James, it's the James in the Bible, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You love somebody. I know y'all do. Y'all love somebody. Today's a good day to start realizing that maybe I better not say what I always say. Maybe I better say something different. Maybe I better lift up the person that I'm with. Amen? Maybe I should love differently. Maybe I should love my friends differently. Maybe I should go to work and not talk about other people, because talking is with the what? And when you gossip, it comes from where? And what does gossip do? Turns people against people. Amen? How good is that? And you know what happens in church? How many know that it happens in church? I see it in church all the time. You get people gossiping about that, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, people are against people, and they don't even know why. Or we disagree. So what? How many times have you disagreed with somebody? Oh, so what? Amen? It's God that matters. It's how you talk and how you treat others. You can disagree. You can disagree. That we all have our own opinions, but when you get right down to it, love walks over the opinion. Amen. Love doesn't make the opinion become evil. Amen. What you say is so almost more important than what you do, because people don't see what you're doing, but they hear what you're saying, and they don't forget the words that you use and how you use them. And it says right here, we say God bless you, and then turn around and curse our brother. We say God bless you, and then we say things that are vile. So we're saying one thing and saying another at the same time. How can that be? Amen. No man can tame the tongue. I get that. So that, but that's not an excuse, is it? Because the Bible says no man can tame the tongue. You say, well, I guess I can just say whatever I want, because the Bible says it. That's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. What you say matters. And you need to rise above things like that. Amen. I'm just saying, we are not to judge others, but we judge ourselves by the words that we use. We've been talking about love for 3 weeks. Love never fails. When you see something failing, you say, well, maybe they don't have the whole handle of love yet. Maybe there's too much I in the word love with that person. Amen. Or with these people. We want to change people. We want to do this with people. We want people to do this way. We want you to walk this way. I want you. That's not love. Amen. Love is saying, I love you. I love you. And just smiling. That's love. Lifting up. Amen. Not criticizing. Not criticizing. Not just saying things that will hurt the person's spirit. Not tearing down. You want your loved one to come to church? How many want their loved one to come to church? I say love them. I love them more. Be happy when you get home. You go to church and get home. I would say, what a great day it was. I'm so happy. You know what they might say? Sooner or later, they're going to say, well, maybe I ought to go with you. I'm telling you, we got children today are in church in Tennessee. Been praying about it. One went, the other one with them, and now this week the whole family is going to the same church. You see, that's what God does, amen? You see? And she said, well, I want my little daughter to get, so she's going to church. So, and now our little daughter wants to go every week. A granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
Is that a prophecy? It works. God works, amen? God love changes things. God's love lifts you up. God makes you do, and everybody here, I want you to know, everybody loves that. You got to love everybody. We love you. We miss you when you're not here. Jim, we missed you when you weren't here. Jim, we missed you when you were. We love everybody, amen? And that's what makes a church a family. That's God. That's God. If you said things to somebody you wish you hadn't, go and say, look, I need not to say those things anymore. Let's just shake hands and let's start over today. I don't expect all the world to be clean and green and happy, but let's start over today, amen? Make a start. Don't say, well, this is what I always say, this is what I always do, and because that's not love, amen? There's nothing about love in there. There's somehow in there, there's an I. And anybody here can spell the word love. Is there an I anywhere in there? And I tell you one more thing, Jen, we've got folks that are going to come to this church. They promised me they're going to come to this church. They made a stipulation. I got to tell Greg, too. They said that if we play Hot Rod Lincoln, they'll come to this church. I said to them, if that gets you in this church, we're going to play Hot Rod Lincoln on a Sunday morning. And they promised. And you say, that's crazy. The Pope would never do that. The priest would never do that. I said, I don't care what they won't do. I want people to come to church because once they come to church, they're going to want to come back again. Amen? So I'm going to play Hot Rod Lincoln. We're going to play it, and they're going to be here. And I said, now you sit right there, and we'll see you next Sunday. Amen? This is what church is. Amen? It's not rules and regulations for people. It's God bringing people into the church. Give God praise and glory this morning. Got to practice, Greg. We got to do Hot Rod Lincoln. And not only did they say they were coming, they're bringing other people. I'm going to hold them to that, right to the thing. He felt the Holy Spirit standing in front of 50,000 people on the mound at Yankee Stadium. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being that in tune with God to realize he heard the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. There's one more story in there about him and his wife. And she was told not to fly, I should read it, but there was some chicken pox where she was, and they told her to stay where she was, and she didn't. And as she was pregnant, she got the chicken pox, and they found it on the baby. And the doctor said there wasn't anything they can do, so they both prayed. And when they went in for the checkup, for the seventh-month checkup, the doctor says, I don't know how. I have no idea. But the baby's fine. Mariano Rivera Jr. was born a month and a half after that. And the doctor said, I don't know. He prayed. Amen. He prayed. He felt the Holy Spirit. We can all do that. I pray that you do. That's just, And it's all because of Jesus. All because of what he did for us. And this church this morning, we're going to do this in remembrance of him. Let that fill you this morning. Let it fill you with confidence. Let that fill you with peace. He did this for us. Not because you love him, because you weren't even here yet. He did this for us because he loves us. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, and said, this is my body being torn for you. Eat and do this in remembrance of me. This is his house. His house. How do you want his house to look? And Jerry says, Father's house. Jerry says, this is Father's house. Praise God. We're talking about God here. The God that changes your heart, your life, your love. We're talking about God here. When he created this beautiful world for us. Jesus just simply said to do this in remembrance of him. This is a memorial until he comes back in this church in Jesus' name. We don't have confession per se, but confess to God now. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've said or done. Lord, for my iniquities, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me. and leave it there with that forgiveness asked in your heart. And then receive the blood of Jesus. He said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. And he simply said to do this in remembrance of him. But just remember who he is and what he's done and how he loves you and that you're ready to receive in Jesus' name. Remember, there's no I can't with God. So don't say I can't do it. Then you're just admitting God's a failure and he doesn't fail. You can. You can move forward today. Anybody would like to know where that was where we read today about the tongue, the untamable tongue? That was in the book of James. You can read it and look at it and read it and understand the power and the devastation. La lingua. La lingua. Ayuto. Is that God calling? Somebody's in tune with the Holy Spirit that he's calling on the phone. Praise the Lord. God didn't need a cell phone to touch Mariano that night. He just needed Mariano to be in tune with his phone. Amen. And he needed Mariano to be tuned in on the inside, the channel already waiting for God. 50,000 people cheering him on and he's listening to God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And he failed that night. He didn't blame God, amen? He said, God, I got myself into this mess. You'll help me from here on. He didn't complain about failing that night. I know it ain't even metal. I know I got some quirks too, just like you. Forgive us, Lord, for our iniquities and the things that we say and we do, Lord. Help us to be stronger today, to lift each other up, not tear down, to encourage one another, to have joy with one another, include one another with love as we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name. Lit the fuse. I like that. Well, I say the Big Bang. See, I'm not so crazy that, you know, I say that the Big Bang happened. It was a miracle. But who caused the miracle to happen? It's just that simple. I mean, when I start to think, don't argue with them because it's crazy. We love God because we feel him in our heart and our spirit. I believe that the word of God is evident. I think you can prove God in the Bible. We've done that, talking about different things that God spoke to. And yes, Bernie.
Well, he not only did
the fuse,
but he made the firecracker.
And he made the firecracker. Let's see. There you go. And I just say, don't get caught up and don't get discouraged and don't get angry. Just tell them, you guys present some of the best entertainment for us believers. You are the we love reading what you write because it becomes funnier as you go. Well, today, before you were here, I mentioned the new animal, 1.5 billion years old that we talked about, saying, well, maybe it could have been 1.2 billion years old, actually. We don't know. And the things that they measure the earth with and the age of the earth, who made those things? I rest my case.